This is Central Time. On January 2nd, 1960, then U.S. Senator John F. Kennedy formally announced that he would seek the Democratic presidential nomination.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States. I believe that any Democratic aspirant to this important nomination should be willing to submit to the voters his views, record, and competence in a series of primary contests. I am therefore now announcing my intention of filing in the New Hampshire primary, and I shall announce my plans with respect to other primaries as their filing dates approach.
Kennedy would go on to campaign in multiple key primary races, including here in Wisconsin. And campaigning was different then. Picture the candidate shaking hands with 1,500 meatpacking plant workers in 15 below weather. One of the candidate's brothers hiking 5 miles along a train track after snow stopped the train to Eau Claire. The other brother making a first ever ski jump in Middleton. Our next guest is the author of a new book that tells the story of John F. Kennedy's historic victory here in the state and some of the Wisconsinites involved in it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Were you in Wisconsin during John F. Kennedy's primary campaign in 1960? Or do you have family or local stories about that point in history? Do you wish more presidential candidates would go to lots and lots of towns these days? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. BJ Hollers is a professor of English at UW-Eau Claire. His new book is called Wisconsin for Kennedy, the primary that launched a president and changed the course of history. BJ will talk about his new book at a few events coming up around the state, including tonight and Mystery to Me bookstore in Madison, April 2nd at the Chippewa Valley Museum in Eau Claire, and April 25th at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. BJ, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much for having me.
All right, we need to set the scene a little bit here. Primaries was different in those days. Not every state did them. Most states didn't. Why was the Wisconsin primary so important on the path in 1960?
That's a great question. Well, the Wisconsin primary was the first contested primary race during that initial 1960 season. And so Kennedy knew he really did not have the advantage of trying to get the nomination at the convention. He did not have the big bosses behind him. He had to prove himself in the Midwest. And so the primary strategy was a way to accomplish all of those things, but it was an uphill battle indeed.
And you ran across a treasure trove of oral histories from people involved in this campaign, including a lot of people here in Wisconsin. Could you talk about this source that provided so much of the material for your book?
Absolutely. Well, it kind of happened during the COVID year, spring 2020. I was not doing a lot of traveling. None of us were. So I started looking online at archival resources online. I came across the JFK Presidential Museum and Libraries database, and there was a folder that said Wisconsin. I was very curious about that. I double-clicked, and I found these incredible interviews, as you said, with well-known people, but also with lesser-known people, all of whom played a role in Wisconsin's 1960 primary. And you put them together, and you start to assemble this team of often little-known Wisconsinites who helped JFK find a way to beat Hubert Humphrey and go all the way to the nomination and finally the presidency.
And if people are expecting a really dry political science history here, that is not how you tell the story. Can you talk about the style and the tension and how you tried to tell this story?
Well, you know, when I was writing this, I came across this Rudyard Kipling quote, and he said, "If history were told in the form of stories, it would never be forgotten." And I just love that quote. I was watching a lot of the TV show The West Wing at the time. I was reading a lot of Theodore H. White's political history, and I really wanted this to be a cinematic story. It is a vivid account in its own right, so I wanted to bring these characters to life as best I could.
All right, setting the scene again now. People within John F. Kennedy's inner circle, including his brother Bobby, said, yeah, let's not do Wisconsin. A lot of people on there were like, Wisconsin's dangerous. It could ruin this whole thing for us. Why is that?
It was a very tough decision. Joe Kennedy Sr., Kennedy's dad, said that Wisconsin was the crisis of the campaign. And Kennedy himself said that if I am beaten in Wisconsin, I am out. So the stakes were huge in the Badger state. Had he lost here, he would pretty much be reaffirming to the big political bosses that he was not electable in the Midwest, that a Catholic could not win in a state with a lot of Protestants, and those were going to be problems. So he had a lot of an uphill battle, as I said, to make it happen. But Wisconsin was the best way to prove himself, and he did it here.
And we think about campaigning these days, I think, BJ, okay, the president, the candidate is having a rally, or they go to a factory with a really prearranged photo op. What was this campaign like in Wisconsin?
Oh my gosh. It in some ways feels so helter skelter. I mean, I found this picture where Kennedy's standing next to a guy and I was wondering, who is this guy? Turned out his name was Pete DeGaulle. He lived in Cadott, Wisconsin. He met Kennedy after a campaign event and said, "You want to lift to Eau Claire?" And Kennedy said, okay. And he hopped in his car and Pete DeGaulle became his driver for some time. There's a story of a guy named Jerry Bruno. He's an eighth grade dropout from Kenosha. He drove forklift for a long time. He ended up being the guy who helped plan all of Kennedy's travel in the White House, including parts of the Dallas trip. So it's just incredible what these Wisconsinites did together. And again, they kind of came from humble means often.
And one of the big challenges facing John F. Kennedy in this whole campaign was his perception as the Catholic candidate. He was Catholic. The one time a major party had elected or had nominated a Catholic, Al Smith, it went very poorly. Wisconsin had some Eastern and Middle Catholicism, some very strong Protestant areas. How did that all play out in that Wisconsin campaign?
Well, he gave it his best and he kind of worked toward refining some of the harder questions about his Catholicism. He really got it right in Houston a few months later. But even in Wisconsin, he was trying to find a way to win over Protestants, which was tricky. He ultimately lost the 9th and 10th district, kind of in the Eau Claire area, some of the more Protestant areas. That was Hubert Humphrey country, to be sure. But he found a way to make inroads there. And so later he told folks, you know, if I'm going to not have an opportunity to be president based solely on my religion, and that's, you know, so many millions of people who also won't be able to do that. And that's not the America we are, which was the answer that finally won a lot of folks over to him.
BJ Hollers is with us, professor of English at UW-Eau Claire, author of several books. His latest is Wisconsin for Kennedy, the primary that launched a president and changed the course of history. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about this campaign, memories of it, if you were there watching, or maybe is there some local legend? A lot of communities in Wisconsin all over the place name dropped in this book. There's a good chance that John F. Kennedy did visit your town. Are there stories about that? Maybe in your family? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with UW-Eau Claire Professor BJ Hollers about his new book, Wisconsin for Kennedy. It gives a behind-the-scenes look at John F. Kennedy's historic 1960 primary campaign here in Wisconsin. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hi, Rob. How's it going?
Good. What do you want to ask about?
A couple things. So, first of all, I wondered if you could tell me if this sounds something like John F. Kennedy for people who might not be familiar with his voice, and that's, ask not what your country can do for you. Mm-hmm. Ask what you can do for your country.
Pretty good. Pretty good. A little Diamond Joe Quimby there, too. What else did you want to ask about, Jack?
Yeah, so I was just thinking, it does seem like Wisconsin has a reputation as one of the keystone states that candidates vying for president need to win on their path to the White House. And so I was just kind of thinking, what were some of JFK and his team's first impressions about our state when he decided to campaign here? And then what were some of his takeaways efforts? Like, what was he expecting? What turned out differently or similarly to what he was expecting going in here?
Oh, great question, Jack. BJ, you look at that a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think Kennedy quite knew what he was getting himself into when he got here. You know, they were, again, mostly East Coast elite folks, hadn't spent a lot of time here. He didn't even come to Wisconsin until the mid to late 50s. But when he came back, after he got to know people very well during those winter months in 1960, he gave a speech and he said, "I suppose that there's no training ground for the presidency, but I don't think it's a bad idea for a president to have stood outside of Meyer's Meat Factory in Madison, Wisconsin at 5:30 in the morning with the temperature 10 above." So it really became a training ground for his presidency. He didn't intend it for it to be that way, but that's how it worked out in the end.
Thanks, Jack, for the call at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Dubuque. Tom, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
I was living in Benton, Wisconsin. I was in the school band. I was in the 6th or 7th grade. And he made a stop in Dubuque, Iowa, across from the Julian Dubuque Bridge. And we were invited as a band to be there. So,
Tom, thanks for the call. I'm laughing, BJ, because this was a very deliberate Kennedy strategy. Tell us about the bands.
It absolutely is, Tom. That's a great observation. The final chapter in the book talks about how much Kennedy valued bands in order to increase the crowd size. If you said if you could a band on every corner of a parade, that means for every 50 band members, you maybe have 100 parents, you get some grandparents. If you get enough bands, you'll always get a big crowd. So Kennedy really used the bands to his advantage. So you were a part of that, Tom.
Tom, thanks a lot for sharing that. That's great. Diane is with us now in Madison. Diane, hi.
Hi. I wanted to comment and ask about the connection with the Catholic Workers Movement. I met a woman in Milwaukee who was raised by three aunts that were very Catholic, and her father, and very Catholic, and they were very involved in the Kennedy campaign. But later, I wanted to know about what there was the Catholic Workers Movement connection. I'm wondering if you just ran across anything in your research.
Interesting question, Diane. Question. I don't remember that in the book, BJ.
Yeah, there's not a lot of that in this research, I'm afraid to say. I guess I will say that it was more less about the work, but more just to speak to the larger topic. During the campaign, Kennedy was very reluctant to speak about his religion. There was a day on St. Patrick's Day, in fact, when he was driving through Wisconsin, and there were a group of nuns on the side of the road. The campaign begged him to keep driving, but they stopped, and he got a photo in Life magazine. The campaign was terrified about all the associations with the Catholic Church, but ultimately, again, he won everyone over. It's a bit of a dodge for your question, but at least it's a story that speaks a bit to the religion aspect here in Wisconsin.
Thanks for the call. We are talking to BJ Hollers from UW-Eau Claire about his new book, Wisconsin for Kennedy, the primary that launched a president and changed the course of history. BJ, you mentioned a couple names of Wisconsinites that then-Senator Kennedy worked with on his campaign. A more familiar name, Vel Phillips. She was a key figure in Wisconsin and around the country with black people a little leery about Kennedy's civil rights credentials. Can you talk about how he won her over and the role she played?
It's a great story. And yes, she was very leery at the start. She didn't like the way he'd voted on a civil rights related issue as a senator. He took her aside. He learned from her. He talked with her. And ultimately, he won her over. There's a moment where they're getting their photograph taken together. And Kennedy said to Vel, "Oh, you know, Jackie has an outfit just like that." And Vel thought he was just, you know, pandering to her. A year later, they meet again. And Jackie says, "Oh, I heard we have the same outfit. And I thought you might not believe me. So here it is." And she pulled it out of the closet just to prove to Vel Phillips that they had the same outfit. So just a very personal approach to campaigning.
Now, Vel Phillips goes on to a very prominent career in Wisconsin politics. A lot of firsts for her. But she plays a role. There's an amazing scene where she's with Kennedy before he addresses, I think it's a big convention of the NAACP. Can you share that story?
Oh, that's a great moment. It's the day before the Democratic National Convention in LA, and Kennedy is a nervous wreck about speaking before the NAACP. A Johnson representative had just done so. He'd gotten booed off stage. He was sweating, but Vel really encouraged him. Go out there, be yourself, see what you can do. And in the end, he got the crowd clapping for him. He really won them over, and he very gratefully walked back to Vel, who was clapping. He gave her a wink, and he thanked her for encouraging him to go there, to make himself known, to help people understand where he was coming from, and to learn about civil rights in a way he really hadn't growing up. Hubert Humphrey played a huge role, too, in helping push him towards civil rights. So that's another interesting side story here.
Just a little bit more on the nuts and bolts of campaigning in Wisconsin. You know, some events had the bands and hundreds of people. There were some other stops. I think one in Cornell, Wisconsin, where there's a crowd of eight or so people at a diner.
There's a great scene in Theodore H. White's book where you got Kennedy roaming through Phillips in these tiny towns, and it's just like tumbleweed. There is no one who even knows there. He goes up to a guy in a bar and goes, "Hi, I'm John Kennedy. I'm running for president." And the guy goes, "President of what?" He didn't even know who he was. So some wonderful stories. He had a lot of room to make things up. One of the best stories is when Jackie Kennedy's in a supermarket in Kenosha, she took over the loudspeaker while people were shopping and shared with folks why they ought to vote for her husband. So it was really kind of guerrilla marketing every way they could get it.
Time for one more caller. Christina's with us in Eau Claire. Christine, hi.
Hi. Well, this campaign is a part of my family history. My dad, who's 89 now, was a student at UW-River Falls, and he and my mom were married. There were two of us kids, and he was working for a farmer. And my mom called the farmer and said for my dad to bring home some milk. And my dad went to the dairy bar, and in his work clothes, his coveralls, those blue and kind of gray striped things you wear on the farm. Anyway, Kennedy was campaigning, and he saw my dad, and he jumped off the car, and he reached over to grab my dad's hand. He shook his hand and he said, "Are you a farmer?" Anyway, so that's the legend in our, you know, that really happened. And then growing up, we had PT-109 Profiles in Courage in the shelf that my mom bought. So,
Christine, thanks a lot for sharing that. BJ, as you go around the state now talking about this book, is this a part of a lot of family stories, the time they met or their ancestor met Kennedy in Wisconsin?
Well, we did the first reading yesterday in Milwaukee, and it was incredible. Pat Lucy's son came out. There was a woman in the front row who actually was on location for one of the scenes I read about. Someone brought her autograph book and shared an autograph. Several people had individual photos with Kennedy. It was more than I could have dreamed. Everyone's got a story, and I think that really speaks to Kennedy's hard campaigning work.
Thanks a lot for that call. And BJ, thanks for joining us. Good luck with your campaign on your book tour.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's BJ Hollers, professor of English at UW-Eau Claire, the author of several books we've been talking about his latest. It's called Wisconsin for Kennedy, the primary that launched a president and changed the course of history. It tells the story of John F. Kennedy's 1960 campaign here in Wisconsin and the Wisconsinites who helped secure that primary victory. Hey, if you've got one of those stories in your community or family history, send it along. We could forward it to BJ for you as well. You can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org.